Welcome to the Real Truth Matters podcast. I'm Dan Harder, your host. The RTM podcast is all about showing you how to live in biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect. And now, here's Real Truth Matters founder and director, Michael Durham.
Thanks, Dan. This is part two of our study of the assurance of salvation. And in our last episode, we laid down the premise that a great deal of the struggle with the lack of assurance is due to a lack of understanding and believing justification by faith alone. If you've not yet listened to that podcast, stop this episode, go back, and listen to last week's podcast first, and then come back and listen to this episode. One more thing before we get into our topic today. I'm going to share with you a very important announcement at the end of today's podcast, which will involve a free gift for you, so please listen to the very end. To fathom the profound depth of justification, we need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, a verse that serves as the very heartbeat of justification. It reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Picture this verse as a treasure chest, containing the key to understanding how God orchestrates the grand exchange of sin for righteousness. At its core lies a profound mystery. Christ, sinless and without fault, willingly steps into the realm of our sins. The sinless becomes clothed in the garments of sin, not because he knew sin himself, but for our sake. This divine exchange becomes the linchpin of the justification narrative. Imagine a courtroom scene where the guilty party, deserving of punishment, is Christless and condemned. Then, in a staggering twist, Christ steps forward, not a mere advocate, but as the sacrificial offering, innocent yet choosing to be identified with the transgressor. The verse unveils the breathtaking truth that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. It's a paradox that shakes the foundation of our understanding as the sinless one willingly carries the weight of our iniquities. Now let's focus on the purpose behind this divine exchange. It's not a random act, but a meticulously crafted plan to usher in a radical transformation. As Christ assumes the role of sin-bearer, you and I are invited into a divine swap. He takes our sin-stained garments, and in return, we're adorned with the pure robes of God's righteousness. It's a celestial transaction where our sin debt is transferred to Christ, and his righteousness becomes our own. In the grand strategy of God's redemptive design, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 unfolds as a condemnation of the sinner's condemnation, a victory over the sinner's guilt by divine love and justice coming together in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not merely a verse to be memorized, but a sacred revelation, inviting us to stand in awe of this majestic exchange that transpires at the cross. And we delve into this, the richness of this verse, we find ourselves at the crossroads of sin and righteousness, where Christ's sacrificial journey becomes the bridge that leads us from condemnation to justification, from guilt to grace. Wouldn't you like to be guilt-free? Wouldn't you love to experience the peace that silences the conscience and the assurance that God is totally okay with you? Well, then you need to understand justification to the point that you can preach it to yourself and believe your own sermon. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 1 Timothy 1:15 also dispel the illusion that we can earn salvation through our performance. And they redirect our gaze to the core of salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul lays bare the reality. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It's a striking revelation that salvation doesn't come knocking at the door of the morally upright. No, it extends help precisely where we are at our weakest and incapable of achieving righteousness on our own. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 echoes this sentiment, declaring, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." There's no conditional clause here demanding a certain level of goodness or moral achievement. The truth is that salvation is tailor-made for those who recognize their need for a Savior, and that need necessitates knowing that you can't do anything to save yourself or help Christ save you. These passages dispel the misconception that our righteous performance can be the currency for salvation. It's not about stacking up a scorecard of good deeds or earning our way into God's favor. Rather, it's an acknowledgement that in our ungodliness, we find the stage perfectly set for Christ's redemptive act to unfold. So let's reject the myth that our goodness can pave the way to salvation. Instead, we must humbly accept the divine truth that your salvation hinges not on your merits, but on the grace of Christ, which reaches out to the ungodly and transforms them into recipients of His unfathomable love. There's something sinister in all of us that wants to stand on our own two feet. But such a sentiment led to the rebellion in Eden. We know we must trust the Lord, but there's still this strong impulse to trust in ourselves also. This impulse is never so revealed as it is when we begin to doubt our justification by grace. For some of you who struggle with assurance, this is the main reason for your struggle. So many struggle with their assurance because they're gauging their salvation on what they do or don't do. In other words, they trust in their performance and righteousness. Depending on the quality of their performance, well, that determines how saved they feel. Oh, but this is a departure from faith in Christ to faith in oneself. Those who understand God's holiness never feel as if they'll ever perform at such a level. They know God's righteousness is beyond anyone's reach. And some feel this more than others. The developed conscience will always feel inadequate. Now that we've clarified our righteous performance doesn't serve as a foundation for justification, let's discuss living righteously post-justification. Striving to live obediently isn't about earning or maintaining our justification. Instead, it's the natural outgrowth of a genuine faith in Christ. Having explored this intricate beauty of justification through 2 Corinthians 5:21, we find ourselves at a crucial crossroads. Before proceeding, it's imperative to heed a warning illuminated in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. This passage serves as a cautionary signpost, urging us to navigate the delicate balance between the liberating truth of justification and the pitfalls of legalism. Again, for many of us, there's a strong inclination to feel more assured if we can see how our righteousness is measuring up to God's standard. That, my friend, is the pitfall of legalism. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 says that clinging to legalistic tendencies, the idea of earning God's favor through adherence to rules, is a dangerous deviation from the essence of justification. So let's look at this warning that we find here that tells us that we cannot go down that path and experience assurance of salvation. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith is like the soil in which the seeds of righteousness and righteous living are planted. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 declares, "The just shall live by faith." Faith is not a continual pursuit of ensuring your justification, but a continual exercise of faith in Christ's finished work. This journey of grace is sometimes a delicate balance between struggling to grasp our justification fully and growing in holiness. But the New Testament teaches us that where faith reigns, growth in holiness will also take root. Often there's a struggle, wrestling with doubts and a lack of assurance that we are true Christians. Yet amidst this struggle, there can still be growth, a gradual growth of the believer into the likeness of Christ. Post-justification righteousness, in other words, living righteously, is not a checklist for perfection. No, it's a dynamic process, an ongoing work of faith that shapes our actions. Consider it akin to a muscle strengthening over time. As we continually exercise our faith in Christ's work, our righteous living becomes a testimony to the transformative power of grace. The just shall live by faith, not in a constant need for justification, but in a perpetual exercise of faith. As we navigate this path, we discover that our sanctification is not a standalone event. It's not a one-time event where you are once and for all sanctified. Instead, sanctification is a symphony between the grace of God and our faith cooperating with this grace. It is as the Apostle Paul tells the Romans, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Romans chapter 8, verse 13. A righteous life is a synergistic work, meaning you and the Holy Spirit work together, and your faith trust what the Spirit says, does, and leads. This is how God transforms us. Holy living is not a burden, but a natural expression of a heart captivated by the grace that justifies and continually transforms. Entering the realm of righteous living demands a serious consideration of the truth and a vigilant awareness of the gravity of sin. It's a call to sobriety, a recognition that a casual approach to the truth and carelessness with sin can undermine the very foundation of our belief in justification. Assurance is not pretending everything's okay when it's not. No, you have a responsibility to walk by faith. Paul Tripp's poignant statement says, quote, "Biblical faith never demands you to deny reality in order to find peace," end of quote. That's what we're trying to say here. To grasp the essence of justification, you must first acknowledge the reality of your sin, its weight, its consequences, its pervasive presence. Denying that reality doesn't pave the way to true peace. No, no. Instead, it obscures the breathtaking beauty of Christ's redemptive work in you. If a doctor diagnoses a serious illness and you choose to ignore or downplay the severity of the illness, it won't lead to healing. Similarly, casualness toward the truth of our sinful state hinders the depth of our appreciation for what Christ has accomplished at the cross. It's just that simple. Sobriety and understanding sin is not a call to perpetual guilt. It's an invitation to a deeper appreciation of grace. It acknowledges that we were once lost, but now we're found, and not minimizing the sin, but through recognizing the profound love that rescued us. So, as we live for Christ post-justification, let's approach it with a sober mind, recognizing the reality of sin without succumbing to despair, and or living a life that's completely lawless, saying, hey, grace covers everything, it doesn't matter how I live. No, no, no. Post-justification living is a call to hold the truth with reverence, allowing it to shape our understanding of justification and fuel our pursuit of righteous living. In this way, we find not only an awareness of our ongoing need for grace, but also a richer experience of the peace that surpasses understanding. A peace grounded in the unflinching truth and redeeming work of Christ. The transformative power of salvation by grace has profound implications for the assurance of salvation. It's not a precarious standing dependent on our wavering performance, no, but a solid foundation anchored in the unshakable work of Christ. That's all I'm trying to say, my dear friend. You've got to get the object of your faith right. As we internalize this truth, the assurance of salvation takes root free from the fluctuation of our own personal righteousness. The assurance is not in our ability to maintain perfection, oh no, but in the unchanging reality of what God has done when He justified us. It's like being handed a guaranteed ticket, a ticket that can't be taken back, to the heavenly banquet, not based on your goodness, but on the grace of the one who justified you. This assurance becomes a steady anchor when the storms of doubt come and assail you, and it's a beacon of hope in the darkest night of your soul. As we delve deeper into the profound truth of justification, we unearth a liberation that defies human understanding. It's a freedom from the shackles of condemnation, a release from the burden of earning God's favor. This liberation doesn't encourage complacency. It calls us to live in the reality of our justification. Justification becomes the fuel of sanctification. Living in the reality of our justification doesn't mean passively accepting God's grace. It invites us into a dynamic relationship where we continually grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a journey marked by a deepening understanding of the one who justifies, an ongoing discovery of His character, and a transformative experience of His love. So, in conclusion, the liberating truth of justification is not just a theological concept to be understood. Listen. It is a reality to be lived. It beckons you to walk in the freedom it offers, to stand firm in the assurance it provides, and to embark on a continuous journey of growth and transformation in the grace of the Lord Jesus. Well, before I end today, we have a very important announcement. We're offering the ebook edition of my book, The Fight of Faith, How a Christian Can Experience Assurance of Salvation, for free on Amazon. This offer starts today and will last only 5 days. This offer is not for the hard copy, only for the ebook. So please Take advantage of that. Since Amazon is now the only distributor of our book, we need to help Amazon to promote the book, and one of the main keys to that happening is verified customer reviews. If you download the book, please go back to Amazon and review it. Give us a review. This is essential for others to find the book. For example, if someone goes on Amazon looking for a book on the assurance of salvation or faith, they will type in those words or something similar in the search bar. Amazon will pull up books they believe are relevant to the person's search. They do this based upon many things, but mostly on customer reviews. The more favorable a book is reviewed, the nearer the top of the search results will that book be. So, the book becomes more easily found and accessible to potential readers. If you've already purchased the book through our website, you can still download the free ebook through Amazon. I encourage you to do that. This will qualify you as a verified buyer, which means you can now leave a verified review. So go right now, download The Fight of Faith, How a Christian Can Experience Assurance of Salvation. Put the book on any mobile device and have it available to read anywhere you go. This will only last for 5 days, so don't wait and miss it. And don't forget to sign up for our new free ebook, Hearing Heaven, How to Hear God When You Read Your Bible. You can get this at our website, realtruthmatters.com. That's realtruthmatters.com. I've written this book to help you to discover how you can read your Bible and actually experience the Lord communicating with you through the Bible. This podcast is all about biblical spirituality. It helps you to see how truth intersects with life and is the basis for experiencing God's fellowship. On behalf of all of us here at Real Truth Matters, thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you with His love in a real and tangible way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Truth Matters podcast. I hope you can see that Christianity is profoundly experiential, but always based on the objective truth of Scripture. If you have questions or comments, please send them to our email address, web@realtruthmatters.com. That's web@realtruthmatters.com. Real Truth Matters podcast, dedicated to biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect.